Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, December 3rd edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, December 4th, 2025. On the top of the front page, we have a wonderful article written by the superintendent of the Unit 7 schools, Dr. Brian Brink. And he begins, "As I reflect on this past year, I'm reminded of how fortunate I am to be a part of Unity. There's a long list of things to be thankful for, but at the very top is the group of people I get to work with every day. This district is filled with individuals who show up, work hard, and genuinely care about our students. Our custodians keep our buildings running and safe. Our support staff often sets the tone for a student's entire day. Our teachers continue to deliver high-quality instruction and build strong relationships. Our administrators lead with consistency and commitment, and our Board of Education remains focused on doing what is best for the students and families of this community. Their combined effort makes my job easier, and it makes our district stronger. One of the things that makes Unity special is the family atmosphere that carries through every school and every building. You see it in the way people support each other during stressful stretches of the year. You see it in how teams of staff members jump in to help when challenges pop up. You see it in the pride our community takes in every success, big or small. That sense of belonging doesn't happen everywhere, and it's a major reason why Unity continues to grow, improve, and make a good place among people where people want to call home. Academically, our district continues to move forward in meaningful ways. Test scores are improving, student growth is strong, and our attendance numbers are rising. And attendance matters. It is one of the clearest indicators of long-term student success. The progress we're seeing isn't accidental. It's the result of consistent effort from our staff, students, and families working together. Each building has its own strengths and its own areas of improvement, but there's a shared commitment across the district to keep pushing for better outcomes. That consistency is something I am incredibly thankful for. Athletically, this year has brought a lot of energy and pride to our schools and our communities. Both cross-country teams earned top 10 finishes at the state meet. Our volleyball team captured a regional title. Our soccer team picked up a postseason win and continues to grow. Our first-ever golf team had a strong inaugural season and represented Unity well in their debut year. And after more than a decade without a cheer program, our new cheer team returned and had an impressive first season back, setting a strong foundation for the years ahead. And of course, our football team brought an incredible level of excitement as they prepared to play for a state championship in Bloomington. These accomplishments highlight not only athletic ability, but also dedication, teamwork, and the strong culture our students continue to build. When I put all of this together, the people, the academics, the athletics, and the community support, it becomes clear just how fortunate I am to be here. This isn't just a place where I work. It's a place I am proud to call home. Each day I am reminded of how special this district is and how many good people are working hard for our students. For all of that, and for the opportunity to serve this community, I am truly thankful. And our thanks also to Dr. Brian Brink, our Unit 7 superintendent. And also on today's front page, we have another accolade for the Unity football season, which has concluded after an impressive state playoff journey. The Unity football team brought home the state runner-up trophy. The final score was 50-56, and with Unity not giving in until the final whistle. Caden Considine had 367 rushing yards. Dane Eisenmenger racked up 541 passing yards, 42 completions on 65 attempts, and 7 touchdown passes. Trey Hoggard broke reception records with 11 until Tyler Henry passed him with 16 receptions, setting a new record. Unity set an individual team record this season of 652 yards. Our congratulations once again to the outstanding Unity Rockets. Moving on now to our weekly community news and notes, we begin with the weekly newsletter from the Philo Library. And they begin. First, don't forget this coming Sunday, December 7th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the festivities begin with an opportunity for kids to make holiday decorations to take home to their families. At 4 o'clock, everyone is invited to join Steve Kachaturian in Christmas caroling, followed by decorating the library Christmas tree just south of the building. After the tree is lit, everyone is invited back into the library for refreshments. We hope to see you there. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? We did, although we have a lot of leftovers. Don't get the idea that we're complaining. Turkey sandwiches are the best thing about Thanksgiving, as far as we're concerned, and we'll be eating just that for the next several days. We're writing our column on Friday, so we don't know whether or not the snow forecasted will be arriving tonight and tomorrow, but we hope everyone out there stays safe. And indeed, as we well know, the snow did hit East Central Illinois on Saturday. But moving back to the Philo Library, they have more good news. They added 3 new books to the collection and think that you will enjoy reading them. Dan Brown, author of The Da Vinci Code, as we all remember, has a new book out featuring, once again, Professor Robert Langdon. It's called Secret of Secrets, and it takes Langdon to Europe and then New York and beyond. It's a race through the mystical landscape of Prague, where he is hunted by a powerful organization and an assailant who arises from the city's ancient mythology. Frieda McFadden's latest book, The Intruder, is also a thriller. It takes place in the wilderness, where Casey has a cabin. It begins with a hurricane that the cabin is not built for. In the midst of the hurricane, Casey discovers a girl lurking outside her kitchen window. She's young, she's alone, and she's covered in blood. McFadden fans know this is an ominous start that will make us want to know what is going on. Next up, Ellen Hildebrand and her daughter work together to write The Academy. This is her 31st novel. It takes place in New England at an exclusive boarding school. However, secrets, rumors, and dangerous liaisons come with the territory. We're planning on reading this one as soon as we finish the one sitting at home. So, from the Philo Library, they hope that we all stay safe and join us on Sunday, December 7th at 3 p.m. for the kickoff of the Philo Library's holiday events. And once again, thanks for reading. Next, we move on to news from Sydney in the Sydney Scoop, courtesy of our correspondent, Anne Roten. Anne was out and about in Sydney recently and found Village of Sydney Maintenance Supervisor Dustin Butts and employee Eric Osterber hard at work on Monday, November 24th, hanging the downtown Sydney Christmas decorations, just in time for the holiday season and just ahead of the Saturday, December 6th, Sydney Hometown Christmas event, sponsored by the Sydney Improvement Group. And wants to thank Dustin and Eric for all of their hard work. The decorations in downtown Sydney look just wonderful. On Thursday, November 27th, Thanksgiving was Thanksgiving, and Anne wishes everyone a holiday, wonderful holiday weekend, and hopes that we were all able to celebrate and give thanks with great food, family, and friends. The Christmas season will soon be hitting Sydney in a big way as planning continues for the Sydney Hometown Christmas, again sponsored by the Sydney Improvement Group. An official flyer has yet to be published, but as of November 28th, when our column goes to press, Anne lists the following holiday events which she has gleaned from Facebook. They start with breakfast at the Sydney United Church at 501 East Main Street from 8 to 10 a.m., and then the Shop at Home vendors will be gathering at the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street at 9 a.m. The Sydney Improvement Group reported on their Facebook page that they have 21 vendors for the Shop at Home event so far, and some of them include, actually there's a long list of really interesting vendors here, and they include Scentsy, Lemery Cookies, Sydney United Church Bake Sale, Pampered Chef, the Sydney Christian Church Bake Sale, Elise Wolf, G&G Jake, Beyond Bonded, authors Fred Oles and Bill Hench from Sydney, and Jean Forsyth from Philo. They will all have their books for sale. Also on hand will be The Goose and the Gander, Daisies and Denim Flower Company, and the La Paloma food truck will also be at the Sydney Community Building parking lot as of 11 a.m. Downtown Sydney activities taking place from 3 in the afternoon until 8 p.m. include a Christmas fun run and walk starting at 3 p.m. and the Christmas parade beginning at 5:30 on David Street, right downtown. A warming center will be set up at the Sydney Community Library at 217 South David Street with cookies, hot chocolate, and coffee being served by members of the Sydney American Legion Post 433 and the Sydney American Legion Post Auxiliary. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will be open at 221 South David Street on the evening of December 6th, at which a Pearl Harbor Remembrance Display will be set up in the meeting room in honor of Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, which is Sunday, December 7th. American Legion Post Adjutant and Service Officer Bill McLean and his wife, Judge Advocate Susan McLean, will be on hand to greet you. Your correspondent plans to attend the Sydney Improvement Group-sponsored Sydney Hometown Christmas event to snap some photos of all the fun, and she hopes to see everyone there. The American Legion Post will hold their next monthly meeting at their post home at 221 South David Street on Monday, December 15th at 6 p.m. New members are always welcome and encouraged to attend. All meetings are held at the post home, unless otherwise noted. Also, stop by the Longview Bank in Sydney and pick an angel off of the angel tree and help make a child in Sydney have an even merrier Christmas. They need to have the gifts purchased and returned to the bank by December 16th. Anne, our correspondent, received the following November 20th email press release from Anna Cubis, Media Contact Senior Manager at the Illinois American Water Company. Illinois American Water wants to help customers and the general public protect their residential plumbing and wastewater systems by providing important tips for disposal of fats, oils, and cooking grease, and the acronym for this is FOGS, F-O-G-S, for fats, oils and cooking grease. And they give us the following good advice, especially for this time of year. Preventing your pipes from freezing can prevent expensive repairs. Properly disposing of fats, oils, and greases keeps your plumbing clear, it reduces sewer backups, and it helps ensure safe, clean water for our communities, said Rebecca Lossley, who's president of Illinois American Water. By developing good disposal habits, households can contribute to healthier local waterways and a stronger infrastructure for everyone. The water company advises us to follow these helpful tips on how to properly dispose of our fats, oils, and cooking greases. Number one, don't rinse them down the drain. Even a powerful disposal can't keep them from clogging pipes. Use a strainer, not the drain. Install a basket in your sink drain and toss trapped food scraps into it and then into the trash. Next up, scrape before you wash. Remove all food scraps and fogs from your dishes and put that into the trash before putting your dishes in the dishwasher or washing them in the sink. Plumbing blockages can also occur when hygiene products such as wipes make their way into the wastewater system. Only water, human waste, and toilet paper should be flushed down your toilet drain. Other examples of hygiene products that should always go into the trash and never down the drain include contact lenses, cotton swabs, dental floss, paper towels, and facial tissues. By following these simple steps, everyone can enjoy a festive season while helping to protect our pipes, our homes, and the environment. For more information on this subject, you can visit the water company's website, which is mwater, all one word, mwater.com. Or you can join American Water on LinkedIn, their Facebook page, on X, and on Instagram. If you or your organization have news items you want published, especially in regard to Sydney, do contact Ann Roten at P.O. Box 491 in Sydney, or you can call her at 217-688-2812. And don't hesitate to leave a message if she doesn't answer right away. Best wishes for all the holidays from Ann Roten in Sydney. And let's all pause now and take a moment and look up at the night sky this week, described for us by Dr. David Leakey, who is retired director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College. And this column covers the dates December 3rd to the 9th, and he begins, "If you own a pair of binoculars, watch for a nearly full moon tonight in the east. As the sky darkens, use your binoculars to see if you can see the Pleiades star cluster, which is called the Seven Sisters, on either side of the moon. Though it's obviously closer, the moon will cover the cluster starting at about 7:40 p.m. and taking nearly an hour to make the trek across it. The official full moon rises at sunset tomorrow. The Mohawk called this the cold moon for a good reason. It has also been called the snow moon and the long night moon. Early risers will have one of the best opportunities of 2025 to see the innermost planet in our solar system, which is Mercury. Early Saturday morning, the planet will rise in the east-southeast at 5:30 a.m. before the start of morning twilight. Venus will follow about an hour later, but by then the dawn will have brightened the sky. If you've never seen the innermost planet, here's your chance. Set an alarm. As we move through December, Mercury will get lower each morning." So look up at the sky this week. There's so much to see. Next up, we have news from Rocket Nation with our correspondent Diane Ducey. And she begins, the Philo Knights of Columbus members, led by David Happ, put up the Christmas tree in the middle of downtown Philo at the corner of Harrison and Washington Streets. Come and see it. Around 15 units were in the 6th annual Village of Philo Christmas Parade that started on 5 p.m. on Sunday, November 30th. The Grand Marshal was Dave Traxler, who grew up in Atwood but has been in Philo since 1990 and has been part of Public Works in Philo since 1991. He's also a member of the Volunteer Fire Department and father of five with four grandchildren. He's been married to wife Carol for 36 years and enjoys hunting, motorcycling, and time with family. But he's also known for being an unsung hero who always lends a hand and goes above and beyond for his town and his neighbors. Mayor Larry Franks, who's led Philo for 11 years and lived in the village all but 2 years of his entire life, was in a parade entry driven by Dale and Judy Kirby, who was the Grand Marshal in 2021. Mr. Christmas, Sean Daly, was driven by family members as the inaugural parade Grand Marshal in 2020. St. Thomas School had their tiger mascot in the parade, as well as appearances from a snowman, reindeer, and service organizations such as the local scout troops and Catholic Charities to spread the word about their food pantry at St. Patrick's Parish Hall, located at 304 East Vine Street in Tolono. It's open to everyone in need Mondays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. and Friday mornings from 9 to 10:30 a.m. Speaking of Tolono, plans are taking shape for their holiday happenings on December 13th at two locations so that people can shop local vendors and artists from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Town Hall and the Masonic Lodge in Tolono. Churches who have turned in plans for the event include St. Patrick's Parish Hall doing make-and-take ornaments with donuts and drinks from 9 to 11 a.m. The Presbyterian Church will be supporting those who may feel sad, alone, or grieving with their Blue Christmas program at 11 a.m. with refreshments to follow. This is at the Presbyterian Church. The United Methodist Church will be serving sub sandwiches from 11 o'clock to 12:30 as the Net Positivity Group fights hunger in the Unit 7. The Tolono Historical Society and Veterans Museum has an open house from 1 to 4 p.m. featuring keepsakes with the Forever Stamp that has a picture of a Tolono home on it. They would very much welcome a donation of $5 to $10 for these inaugural stamp issue. The library has adult painting at 1 p.m. Please register ahead of time. And then a mini book ball from 4 to 5 p.m. for 10 to 14-year-olds. The adult book ball for ages 21 and up will be across the street at Events at 108 from 7 to 9 p.m. Registration is encouraged, but walk-ins are more than welcome. You'll find details on their website for this new event, which really does sound like fun. It's in Tolono. Another fresh new idea is the Wreath Relay, with a sign-ups at 2:30 p.m., as a wreath is then passed to participants extending across West Side Park. This is going to be a fun one. Tolono Fun Day's website has more details and how you can sign up and pay for the Mary Beth Farms horse-drawn carriage rides, which will be from 5 to 9 p.m., and then the tree lighting ceremony from 5:30 to 6:30. There'll also be a 50-50 raffle there with tickets for $10 each, and the winner will be drawn and the awards will be awarded for the best lit decorated homes in Tolono. Judging will be at night of December 8th at 8 o'clock. They will be handed out with Trackside as the sponsor. The Unity West 5th grade choir plans to lead festive carols. There'll be cookies and a countdown to the tree lighting at the Masonic Hall for the Christmas season. They're really getting off to a great start to Christmas in Rocket Nation. And we have more Rocket news in the Rocket Rundown, brought to us by our student writer, Olivia Withrop. She begins, "Last Monday, girls basketball played in Leroy and lost 40-55. They play Clinton next, then Cisna Park on Tuesday, and ALAH on Thursday. The Unity boys basketball started their season on Tuesday. They're playing Bismarck Henning on Friday and Rochester at home the following week. On Saturday, they will play Tutopolis away. Girls wrestling competed on Saturday in the normal community tournament. Next Saturday, they compete at the Princeton tournament. On Thursdays, the boys will compete in the Danville Centennial Duels, and on Saturday in the Washington tournament. Football competed in the 2025 3A state championship last Friday and played a thriller game. Unity put up 50 points against Byron's 56. The game went back and forth all four quarters, with Unity leading at halftime. Byron pulled a lead in the third quarter that quickly dwindled as Unity laid everything on the field. We fought till the last whistle, but the Rockets lost in the end 50-56 as the Illinois State runner-ups." This week's news from Parkland College announces their new College for Kids Spring Edition, coming up right after the new year. Community Education at Parkland College has announced its popular youth enrichment program, College for Kids, will continue to expand its year-round offerings with College for Kids Spring Edition launching in 2026. Designed for students ages 6 to 15, the Spring Edition will build on the momentum of recent seasonal expansions. A variety of College for Kids spring break options will also be available. Kathy Boyce, Youth Program Manager, reported that "our fall edition launch was very strong, and we're excited to keep that energy going with even more after-school classes for students to explore this spring. A few new offerings include classes on pet safety and first aid basics. Students will learn essential first aid skills to help keep their pets safe and healthy, including wrapping injuries, checking vital signs, identifying bites and stings, and understanding choking and CPR basics. Another new offering is Chef's Challenge, a three-course creation. Young chefs will step into the kitchen to craft a full three-course meal, an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. While learning key skills in flavor building, timing, and presentation. Next up is Paint and Create. This creative outlet will allow participants to paint and assemble a wooden axolotl to take home. I'm not sure what an axolotl is, but apparently it's going to be a lot of fun. Then there'll also be another class in wordplay, poetry, and pictures. Students will blend art and language to tell stories visually, combining their own words, artwork, and poetry. College for Kids Spring Edition will kick off on Saturday, January 17th. For more information about class schedules, you can go to Parkland College's website, which is simply parkland.edu, and look for the link to the CFK Spring. CFK stands for College for Kids, and that's all one word, CFK Spring. Parkland College offers these programs every year, after school, and during the daytime in the summers, and it's really worth checking out. This concludes our reading of the December 3rd edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.